The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In the last few days, there have been a number of calls by TDs and senators to reform the current inheritance tax. As well as this today, the Thornish is in Brussels to talk about tariffs and trade with the European Trade Commissioner, Maro Sefcovic. We'll talk about that and where the Taoiseach might be off to as well with our political correspondent, Sean Defoe. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat.
Now, talk to me about inheritance tax, because you can leave money to your kids and there's a threshold, I think it's 400,000 at the moment, per child. If you are childless, whoever you leave it to has to pay the full whack, unless it's the dog's home.
Unless it's the dog's home, as one TD has pointed out. We'll play that clip in a second. Yeah, so this is something that kind of behind the scenes, I'm starting to hear a few TDs, and it's not a concerted effort, it's not a campaign by them together, but they're sort of all raising it individually. I was looking at some of the parliamentary questions that Michael Lowry has been asking, for example, just to get an example, an insight into what he's pushing at the moment behind the scenes. And one of them was this idea in relation to inheritance tax, where you can, if you have a child, as you say, they can inherit up to 400,000. And you can split that among multiple children, that's fine. And that threshold went up in the budget. You even saw people during the election, Alan Shatter, take, for example, fighting whole campaigns. The entire campaign of his was basically based on inheritance tax and enhancing that. But if you're childless, it's much more difficult. And I think you can leave a maximum of 40,000 to someone instead. So if you, I don't know, you're a gay couple, you just weren't ever lucky enough to have children, whatever it is, and you want to pass on money to a niece or nephew, it's a tenth of what you could pass on to a child. And there's a couple of TDs. You have Michael Lowry asking about it. Sharon Kilgan was raising it in the Senate as well. And then during the week, I was talking to the Independent Ireland TD, Ken O'Flynn, who is in this situation himself whenever he eventually goes to pass on some of his money or his house or whatever, his wealth. And he had this point to make in quite colourful fashion.
The reality is that it's archaic. It doesn't work. It's not fit for purpose anymore. It doesn't reflect society of today, and it needs to be addressed. And I feel very impassioned by meeting those couples all over the country who have raised this situation to us in Independent Ireland for the last number of months now. So I'm hoping to have that addressed in the next couple of weeks and have a full proper debate about it, and a realistic talk about it as well, of what's actually happening in society and how it needs to change. Because I think really, in fairness, it's gone beyond a joke at the moment. You know, you can leave all your money to the dog's home and the dog's home is tax-free. So the Chihuahua has more rights than the niece or the nephew. That doesn't make sense to me. The Chihuahua has more rights than the homosexual couple that wants to leave their money to their nieces and nephew. That doesn't make sense to me.
That Chihuahua...
doing well.
Yeah, let's adopt him from Dog's Trust straight away, because he could come into a lot
of
cash.
He's on the good kibble.
Now, the whole business of inheritance tax, I mean, the idea is that you accumulate, you save like mad from your after-tax income. Any interest you make, you've got your dirt tax. Yeah. And then when you die, you have to pay tax again. It does seem rather unfair. And the whole idea is that it's not fair that some children inherit from their well-to-do parents and other children who don't have well-to-do parents do not inherit or can't. There's nothing to inherit. But, you know, the rights of private property and all the rest.
Yeah, there's kind of two sides to it. So the government would argue that this is really Ireland's only wealth tax, and that it's kind of fair in a result of that, because if you do amass a whole pile of assets or property or whatever, fair play to you, well done. But a lot of people aren't in that situation, and the money that's raised from that goes back into social welfare or into whatever to benefit the less
affluent. Or expensive
society.
Hospitals or other waste.
That's it. I mean, that's the problem with tax, isn't it? You don't get to decide where exactly your tax is going. But the flip side of it is, like, look, if you look at Ireland over the last 10 years and the inheritance tax bans were cut quite dramatically during the crash. Now they're raising again as the last budget up to 400,000. But I think they are now, it's only thereabouts or maybe even a little bit less than the average cost of a house in the state, certainly in Dublin, 400,000. If you were inheriting and you had to sell that home or you were going to sell that home, you're going to pay a bit of a tax chunk on it. There will be people who are inheriting a home and have no choice but to sell it just to pay the tax bill. And I think a lot of people would say that that is quite unfair. The point in particular the politicians are coming out is that idea of just not having a child, and you should be able to pass on to a niece or a nephew or a friend or somebody, some designated person perhaps that you could put in instead. There's a very limited number of people who can do that. If you have a niece or nephew who works in your business for the last 5 years, they can actually be appointed as a designated preferred relative and they can get the full whack. But it's all quite limited.
Will this go anywhere, do you think?
I think it possibly will, because there is a bit of a backlash to it, and there was a backlash on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil backbenchers too ahead of the last election. Now, you get those ahead of elections, obviously, and I know you've been talking on the show this week about what's coming up in the budget and how it's not going to be an election budget, and so it will naturally be more tough, notwithstanding everything that's going to happen with tariffs and all like that. But Pascal Donoghue didn't rule it out. He was asked by Michael Lowry in a parliamentary question. He said the corporation capital acquisitions tax is being looked at in the tax strategy papers, but did say there is a very significant cost to any rebalancing they do of that. So watch the space. I wouldn't be overly positive that this will be a budget for some change to it, but it has been a goal, particularly of Fine Gael over a number of budgets.
Now, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach both on their travels this week?
Yes, so the Taoiseach tomorrow in Tirana for this European political community, this one that Macron has been leading over the last few years, sort of a much less glamorous Eurovision happening this week with all of those leaders and a lot to get on the agenda. And then the Taoiseach today is in Brussels, where foreign trade ministers are meeting to discuss Trump and to discuss tariffs and where it's going to go. Maris Sefcovic was speaking in the last half hour on the way into that and was talking about the deal that's happened with the UK, what they're doing with, I think, Switzerland as well, where there's been just a bit more progress on getting a trade deal. And his line is very much, look, we're a big bloc. We're a much bigger bloc than the UK is and that a lot of other countries are. And so we're not going to rush this. We're going to try and get a better deal.
In population terms, we're bigger than the United States.
And in terms of trade, I think it's the third biggest economy in the world, isn't it, Europe? So there is a big, or the EU rather, there is a big incentive here for the US to get a deal. I think what they're concerned about, and certainly Simon Harris raised this at Cabinet this week, is that the UK deal solidified tariffs. Like, it still includes the 10% tariff on it. And so you have made tariffs part of the landscape for the foreseeable future with the US. And that's very much something that the EU wants to avoid.
But I mean, it's been pointed out that wasn't a deal at all. That's a memo.
Well, Trump doesn't have the approval technically to approve a trade deal like that, but it signals the intention and the, I suppose, in a way, trying to curry favour with Trump to secure this. But at the same time, it conceded the point. 10% tariffs are there.
The other interpretation is that he, Starmer, deliberately threw Trump a bone, a win. You know, so he could say, big announcement, UK, huge trading partner, great friend, da-da-da, we have a deal. You know, and which wasn't a deal at all.
There's something on the table for the civil service to discuss. I suppose the European view on that would be give Trump an inch and he takes a mile, and you give him his 10%, it won't be long before something else happens. So they're very much still on the side of let's negotiate something that does not have tariffs, does not have those barriers, and maybe we take in more US cars or whatever it happens to be.
Now, housing continues to be a topic of conversation and will be for the remainder of this government's term unless some miracle occurs and they manage to suddenly up the number of homes completed. The housing minister taking parliamentary questions?
Yeah, I was listening to some of this morning. Nothing of huge drama so far. He's been taking questions in the Dáil. We saw a bit more fight out of him this morning, though, I have to say, than we've seen over the last couple of weeks, because his appearances in the media and with opposition TDs have been a little bit limp as he tries to get used to the brief. But he was hitting back at Eoin O'Brien, saying it's the same old ideas from Sinn Féin, and they're giving out about government targets that were, I think as he put it, they're giving out about the result of the last match being the last term in government while the current match is still ongoing. But the big problem for James Brown is there's no ideas on the pitch. Yeah. There's nothing. I just find it absolutely shocking how these two parties in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both went through an election, both produced a big, massive manifesto that was meant to cover the next 5 years, and they've come out of it with nothing new on the table to show for it.
And they also reformed the planning bill to make it even more complicated and a charter for lawyers to make money, basically.
Yeah.
Instead of doing something really profound and direct, as I've always said, make it a rules-based system. Everyone knows where they stand and the developers can get on with it. Instead of waiting, will the minister allow me another two stories? Mm. I won't build on that site yet because I just might get more units in there.
There's an awful lot of grey area still, isn't there? We were told this planning bill, was it the largest or second largest bit of legislation in the history of the state? And yet still there's all this grey area. And not even when it comes to developers, even when you talk about local needs exemptions and stuff, for example, if people are trying to build a house two fields over and can't get permission to do it, you know, there's an awful lot of trouble with the planning. It's an interesting problem for the government in that there was very clear progress for a number of years. We came from, what was it, 8,000 a year up to 34. That has now stalled. And I haven't gotten any sense from anybody in government that they know why immediately their plans just suddenly stopped. Yeah. And two, how to kick that off.
But they also know that there are so many permissions granted but not built.
Yeah.
And if those were built, that would help enormously. But why are they not building? Because they think they'll get more. That's the bottom line always. Mm. They think they'll get more. I mean, you may have seen that CIF story about the cottages that fell down, and the CIF have sold their own building plus the cottages and to some developer for 23 million or something like that. They haven't paid the tax, the derelict sites tax, but you know, it's subject to the purchaser getting planning, which they have, and still no progress.
Yeah, it's people can look at examples all across the country, can't they, of places that have been derelict for a long time and there's just no progress.
No, but
it's incredibly frustrating. But when the CIF in particular, yeah.
When they don't pay the derelict, what are they telling their members? We are in dereliction ourselves of that law. Why should you bother?
In a property they've owned since the 90s, isn't it? You know, and has only was put onto that register as well in 2023, I think, so very recently.
Mm. You're also pondering popes.
I love this brief, like it goes through the full swathe of politics from Trump to popes. The latest episode of Let Me Explain out today, and obviously the new pope coming last week. I just wanted to look into some of the worst popes in history, because a lot of people were giving out about Francis. Wasn't that bad, turns out, compared to some of them. Rodrigo Borgia, have you ever watched The Borgias, TV show? Yeah, all based on him and the family, basically trying to turn the papacy into his sort of gangster movie from early in the 1400s and 1500s. He was actually the influence for Vito Corleone. Was one of the influences there, along with a couple of gangsters.
Now, chastity wasn't big on the menu for the Borgias.
No, or a lot of these. I mean, the amount of, I actually lost track of the amount of popes that were accused of turning the Vatican into a brothel. There was one, I think it was Pope Benedict the Ninth, who was appointed when he was 18, kept up all the behaviours of a relatively normal 18-year-old, was eventually kicked out of the position of Pope and died a year later in bed with another man's woman.
Okay.
So there you go. There's the standard that they're setting.
I'm going to tune in for Let Me Explain, definitely a podcast from Sean DeVoe, our political correspondent. Sean, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.